Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. If you have your Bibles, you'll want to turn to the book of Ezra. Look at the opening of the book of Ezra, chapter 1 and verse 1. And look also at the book of 2 Chronicles. We were asked in our last lesson to compare the last two verses of 2 Chronicles with the first few verses of the book of Ezra. And that's what we're going to do in just a moment as we talk about Cyrus and his proclamation for the Jews to return to Jerusalem. Now, before we get there, I want to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. Let me go over that again. Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now let's look at this Sunday school lesson. It is a lesson on the return and rebuilding of the temple, written for the Sunday schools of June the 15th, 1924, by E.A. Elam. And we're discussing, at this point, Cyrus and his proclamation. You see, Cyrus was the one that ruled over Babylon, and he issued the proclamation throughout all his kingdom concerning the building of the temple and the Jews' return to Jerusalem. Now let's compare the last two verses of 2 Chronicles and the first few verses of the book of Ezra. 2 Chronicles 36, verses 22 through 23 read, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of Jehovah by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, Jehovah stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath Jehovah, the God of heaven, given me, and he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever there is among you of all his people, Jehovah his God be with him, and let him go up." Now that ends the book of 2 Chronicles. Look at the first four verses on the next page in your Bible of the book of Ezra. And they read this way, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of Jehovah by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, Jehovah stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath Jehovah, the God of heaven, given me, and he hath charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whosoever there is among you of all his people, his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of Jehovah, the God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever is left in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver, and with gold, and with goods, and with beast, besides the freewill offering for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem." Notice how in both texts it is said that the word of Jehovah by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished. Cyrus permitted the Jews to return to Jerusalem, and Jeremiah had foretold that captivity would continue for 70 years. In Jeremiah 25 and verse 12, and Jeremiah 29 and verse 10. Well, this time has now been fulfilled. The purpose, too, of this captivity was in correcting the Jews and leading them back to trust in God and to his true worship. And that had been accomplished. Nebuchadnezzar, who destroyed Jerusalem and led the Jews into this captivity, was overruled by Jehovah to do this. And he was called God's servant in Jeremiah 25 and verse 9 and Jeremiah 29 and verse 6. So when God had accomplished his purpose upon the Jews by captivity, he overruled Cyrus, calling him his shepherd and his anointed, and stirred up his spirit to send them back to Jerusalem. God called Cyrus by name about 175 years before this. It is also stated that Cyrus had not known God. Now, the place where God had called Cyrus by name is found in the book of Isaiah. Let me read that to you, because it's remarkable. Isaiah 44 and verse 28, that saith of Cyrus, "He is my shepherd. He shall perform all my pleasure, even saying of Jerusalem, she shall be built, and of the temple thy foundation shall be laid." And in the next verse, which is in the next chapter, Isaiah 45 and verse 1, "Thus saith Jehovah to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open the doors before him, and the gates shall not be shut." And so it was this time, and those many years before, about 175 years beforehand, that God had called Cyrus by name and indicated that Cyrus would do this very thing that he did. In his overruling power, God had given the nations to Nebuchadnezzar and led Nebuchadnezzar to acknowledge his might and glory and everlasting dominion in Daniel chapter 4. And so now he gave all the kingdoms of the earth to Cyrus and led him to make this proclamation. It is more than probable that to Cyrus were pointed out the above quotations of Isaiah and the passages in Jeremiah stating that the Jews would return to Jerusalem in 70 years. And in this way, God stirred up the spirit of Cyrus to make this proclamation. And Cyrus made the proclamation first orally, and then made it a matter of record that it might stand. Now let's talk for a few minutes about the three men that led this return from the captivity to Jerusalem, namely Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah. These three leaders were most prominent and did much in leading the Jews out of exile back to Jerusalem, rebuilding the temple, restoring the worship of God, and rebuilding the walls of the city. Zerubbabel's return was in B.C. 536, laying the foundation of the temple in B.C. 535, the beginning of the revival work under the prophecies of Haggai and Zechariah in B.C. 519, and the completion of the temple in B.C. 515. The events of the book of Ezra from B.C. 483 to 473. But then we read about Ezra's journey to Jerusalem in B.C. 458, and Nehemiah's prayer and visit to Jerusalem in B.C. 445 and 44, rebuilding the walls and then reading and obeying the law in B.C. 444. Now, these dates are approximately correct, but we see from Zerubbabel's return from 536 to the reading and obeying the law of 444, we have a period of about 90 years. The name Zerubbabel might mean born in Babylon. He was the son of Shealtiel, according to Ezra 3 and verse 2, and he was a descendant of the kings of Judah, according to 1 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 17. He was a faithful, unswerving, loyal servant of God that withstood much and did great work in the restoration of the true worship of God. Now let's talk about preparing lodging places. It is not stated at what time of the year the Jews begin their journey of about 800 miles from Babylon to Jerusalem on their return to captivity, but since they reached their destination sometime before the seventh month, now that corresponds to the last of September and the first of October, and since it required several months to make the journey, they must have left Babylon in the spring. It required Ezra and those with him 4 months to make this journey. In Ezra chapter 7 and verse 9, upon arrival into their own country, the Jews went to the cities which belonged to their respective families before the captivity. They found the cities, like Jerusalem, in ruins, and the country desolate. Their first work was to prepare some sort of lodging places for themselves and families. This was done by repairing the old houses, constructing huts, and perhaps stretching tents. This done, in the seventh month, the people gathered themselves together as one man in Jerusalem. Now let's talk about worshiping God as it is written. And I want you to notice the importance of those words, as it is written. It's never been God to say, you can just worship me any way you feel like. God has always wanted us to worship him as he wanted to be worshiped. And he's had it written. And we go back to see what is written to learn how to worship God. And so also did these Jews. The people went to Jerusalem in obedience to God. They did not wait until the temple was rebuilt before they began to worship God, for it was necessary to worship God during the time they would be employed in rebuilding the temple. They built on its original foundation the altar of burnt offering, and began from the first day of the seventh month to offer the daily burnt offerings. At the appointed time, they kept the Feast of Tabernacles and offered the burnt offerings by number during the feast as every day required. After this, they offered the burnt offerings of the new moons and of all the set feasts. Although fear was upon them because of the peoples of the countries, they began and continued the worship of God. There was but one way to restore the true worship of God, and that was to do all things according to his directions. Hence, these Jews assembled at Jerusalem, Deuteronomy 12:5-6, and made their burnt offerings, and kept their set feast, and did all things as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. Is Ezra chapters 1-6. Hezekiah reformed the people by persuading them to worship God, as it is written in 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 5 and 31 in verse 3. Josiah did the same in 2 Kings 22 and verse 13 and 23 and verse 3 and 21. The Jews, as our lesson shows, after the captivity, restored the true worship of God by worshiping as it is written. And later Ezra reformed by insisting on doing it as it is written. And I'm going to read a few verses in the next time we come together to emphasize this from the book of Nehemiah. You may want to take your Bible and mark in it Nehemiah chapter 8. We restore the worship of God under Christ. It's revealed in the New Testament. It's necessary to worship God as it is written in that book as well. And I want to read some verses that point to that when we return for our next class. So you be ready to learn and come together again for the Warren County Radio Bible School.